So we're up to the Gemara of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We've just mentioned the Chiddush of Rav. Very, very important to remind ourselves once again, because the Gemara is going to examine it time and time again. We have a principle that somebody who paskened, or at least leaned in the direction of Zakai, innocent, cannot then change his mind and say on second thoughts, actually he is guilty. But Rav said that's only at the stage of Masa Umata. When there is a discussion amongst the Dayonim, then once he initially expressed his first impression, which was that the guy's innocent, so then he can't back down at that stage. Why not? Because we want to encourage him to pursue that line of thought and maybe look for further proofs and makoires to back it up. However, says Rav, at the time of the Gemara Din, when it finally comes to the stage where they have to now tally up the votes and see how many say innocent and how many say guilty, then obviously he is allowed to backtrack because he never formally gave his opinion. He just said what his first impressions were. And if he says, in all honesty, having examined all the proofs and looked at all the sources, I've come to a final conclusion, which is that he's guilty after all, then he's allowed to change his mind. So for this is a very important rule to remember. Even though the klal is that once you say innocent, you can't say guilty, that applies to the stage of Masa Umata. Obviously, it applies also after the Gemara Din. But at the stage of the Gemara Din, when they come to now and they formally ask him, right, so what is your vote in this particular case? If he says it's true, until a few moments ago I thought he was innocent, but on final conclusion, on second thoughts, I figured that he's guilty, then he is allowed to change his mind. That is the principle of Rav, and that's what we're examining now. So have a look at the Gemara. We're on the fourth last narrow line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says Toshma. Says the Gemara Toshma, Donin Elu Keneged Elu. This is a Mishnah later on in Daf Mem. Donin Elu Keneged Elu. Rashi explains, and we'll see this in a moment, that as we know, we always have to have a majority decision. However, we've learned this actually right in the beginning of the Masechta, that if the final conclusion of the Beis Din is that he's guilty, then a majority of one will not suffice, has to be a majority of more than that. So if you have 23 Dayonim on the Beis Din, 12 say innocent, and 12 say guilty, and 11 say innocent, so even though it's true, a majority are leaning in the favor of guilty, but it's not a majority of more than one. So therefore, that's not acceptable. On the other hand, I clearly can't consider the guy innocent when, in fact, most of the Dayonim were against him. So what do you do in a case like that? It's sort of no man's land. I can't consider him guilty because I don't have a majority of two. I can't consider him innocent because most Dayonim voted in favor of guilty. So what do I do? So clearly, I'm going to have to continue the discussion and hope that maybe somebody will change their opinion. Now, if somebody changes their opinion, in which direction will that help me? And the answer really is in any direction. If one of the guilty Dayonim switches to innocent, so what will I have then? I'll have 12 Dayonim saying innocent, 11 saying guilty. Well, that's good enough. So then I've got a majority for innocent. And if one of the innocent Dayonim switches to guilty, well, that's also good because then I'll have 13 guilty and 10 innocent. So he can be proved guilty. So whoever now switches camp, that will in fact decide the din. So now look back into the Gemara and we'll see whether indeed both options are on the table. Either direction, there could be a chazara. Says the Braisa Toshama, Donin Elu Keneged Elu. They now have to judge against each other. They have to continue their discussion. The Mechayvin and the Zakoin, those who said guilty and those who say innocent. Ad, until such point, when will it finally come to an end? Ad sheyire echod min hamachayvin divrei hamazakin, until such point that one of the machayvin will see and appreciate and agree the standpoint of one of the zakoin. He'll then switch camps, so it's no longer 12-11 to guilty, it's now 12-11 to innocent. That is the end of the mission. Now, as we always mention when we learn together, so important to be medayek, not only what it says, but also what it does not say. What is glaring in its absence over here? What did the Braisa say? That we're going to continue the discussion until which point? Until the point that one of the machayvin switches camps and he now decides innocent. Why didn't it say the other way around as well? Why didn't it say until such point that either one of the machayvin now declares zakai or one of the zakoin declares machayv? Why didn't it give two options? It only gave one option. Says the Gemara, Ve'im Isa, if we would really hold of Rav's Yesoid. Remember, what was Rav's Yesoid? Rav's Yesoid was that when you come to the final Gemara Din, you're allowed to switch track in either direction. So if Rav is really true, then when it comes to the Gemara Din, even one of the innocent Dayonim can now say guilty. Is Lisni Nami Ipcha. So why didn't it state in the Mishnah the opposite way around as well? Why didn't it say option number one is that one of the Mechayvin will now switch to innocent? Option number two is that one of the innocent will switch to guilty. And it doesn't say that. So what does that seem to suggest? It seems to suggest that Rav is wrong. It seems to suggest that once you've voiced your opinion and you've expressed your impression that he is innocent, you cannot backtrack, period. Never mind during the Masa Umata nor the Gemara Din. That seems to be what we can learn from this Mishnah, that Rav is wrong. And if Rav is wrong, well, then indeed we understand the Mishnah. The only valid option, the only hope that somebody could switch is that what? That one of the Mechayvin will switch to innocent. But one of the innocent will switch to guilty. That's not an option. So this is a very big kasha on Rav. Answers the Gemara, no. Tana, the Tana of this Mishnah, preferred just to mention that option, as zechus komahader. After all, aren't we always trying to make him innocent? So therefore, I don't need to give all the examples. I prefer to mention the example of one of the guilty dayanim now makes him innocent, but achoiva loy komahader. But he's not looking to mention examples of now incriminating him. Not that he can't switch. Really, Rav is right after all. And you can switch in both directions. If you initially said guilty, you can now say innocent. If you initially said innocent, you can now say guilty because we're at the stage of the Gemara Din. Why did the Tana not mention both examples? Because after all, we're much happier to mention the example of switching to the direction of innocent. I'm not so comfortable to mention the reverse example, but not that it's not true. Not that it's not true, it is true. Have a look at Rashi, there's a lengthy Rashi over here, further up the Omid. Donin Elu Keneged Elu. Says Rashi, Heicha Denechleku Bedin. Let's take this Rashi slowly. Where there is a difference of opinion, there is a machloikas in the din. Shloishim v'shisha mechayvin. So Rashi is giving the example of the Beis Din HaGadol, 71 dayonim. So I've got 36 of them, which is definitely a majority, who are saying that he's chayv, as opposed to v'shloishim v'chamisha mezakin. 35 are saying innocent. So what's the final score? 36 versus 35 in the favor of guilty. But remember, we said that's not big enough majority. The Kaimalon, and we hold in Daf Beis, Ein Matin Lechoiva Al Pi Echod. We never veer the judgment, we never pasken alocha if it's for Choiva, if there's only a majority of one. For innocent, that's good enough, but not for guilty. So 36-35 in the favor of guilty is, as they would say in Yiddish, nishtahin or nishtaher. It doesn't work in either direction, because for choiva, we would definitely need a majority of two. So therefore, we cannot be mechayev him in bezdin. On the other hand, we can't consider him innocent either, because we have a majority against. Says Rashi, donin b'rayo yisehen. So we would have to rejudge and re-examine all their proofs. Elu kineged elu. These against these. Okay, let's say the innocent proofs. Let's say the guilty proofs. Ad sheyachzer boy echod min ha-mechayvin. Until such point that one of the mechayvin will be choizer, he will backtrack. That point, dahavelu mezakin rubo. And at that point, it will no longer be 36-35 to choivo. To the contrary, it will be 36-35 to zakai. Avol, however, says Rashi, and this is the Gemara's diuk, what about being choizer in the other direction? That was not mentioned as an option. Avol lachzor boy echod min hamazakin. But one of those who initially said he's innocent, for him to backtrack, loiktoni, comma, that was not stated in the Mishnah. Doesn't seem to be an option. V'im Isa, if you'd only hold of Rav's principle that the Gemara din yochoy lachzor, you're allowed to switch at the Gemara din in either direction. The lelamed choiva, you can even switch in the direction from innocent to guilty. Is nisni namipcha. So why didn't you tell me in the Mishnah the opposite example as well? The Neiman, why didn't you say, oi, another option would be, echad min hamazakin, maybe one of the people who said innocent, will now switch, as divrei hamachayvin, will now switch to the guilty camp. What will be the score then? It'll be 37 versus 34. Ah, that's enough. Well, that really would be a margin of more than two for Ro'o, and that would suffice. So why did the Mishnah only give an example of one of the Mechayvin switching to Zakai? Why didn't it give me the reverse example as well of one of the Zakoin being Chayzer to Mechayv, to say now he's now guilty? That's the Kasha. So it seems to be that Rav is wrong. It would seem to be that actually whoever said innocent can never ever change his mind. Says Rashi, no. Tona azachusa. Nichale, it is more comfortable for him, la'ahaduri, to search for an example, or misni, and to say the example of guilty now becoming innocent. Why is that a nicer example? Mishum lishna ma'alia. It's a nicer loshon. But really, but really, in essence, the opposite would also be true. Right? Imagine somebody here, Rabbi Isai, wanted to ask a question in the middle of the shir, and you would say, I want to ask a question. What would be in the case where you have five said this and four say this, for example, Chalas Shabbos? You would choose your example carefully. You wouldn't go into gory details, or you wouldn't mention something that was too crude. Doesn't mean that it's not true, but I'd rather choose something which is more pleasant sounding. So therefore, the Tanya in the Mishnah, when choosing an example, it's much more pleasant to the ears to say that one of the guilty switched to innocent. Oh, does that mean the opposite is not true? No, it doesn't mean that at all. The opposite is also true. But I didn't mention that because it's a Lishna Ma'alia. It's a more pleasant lashon to mention this way around. I'm just going to close the door for a second, sorry. Okay, so we now go back into the Gemara. We're now looking for another right. Toshima, we're right at the end of the narrow lines now. Toshima. The Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. This is another quote from a Gemara later on. This happens to be in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina said as follows: Echad min haTalmidim sheziko. One of the Talmidim, meaning one of the Dayanim, claimed that he's innocent. Unfortunately, Umes, he then died. He died before we could ask him what his formal opinion was for the Gemara Din. So we definitely know what he maintained, but we never heard a confirmation of that. He can no longer confirm because he's passed away. So what do we do? Says Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Royin Oisoi Ki'ilu Chai. We would see him, treat him as if he's still alive. V'oimed b'mkoymoi, as if he's remaining steadfast in his place, unmoved. If he initially offered his opinion that he maintained this person is innocent, then we will consider that opinion and add it to the vote. That is the end of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina's quotes. What is the big chiddush? What is the big kasha again? V'amai. How can you possibly put that to vote? How can you consider his opinion in the final analysis? Again, isn't this once again dependent on Rav's chiddush? If you will hold not like Rav, that once you expressed your opinion of innocence, you can never, ever, ever, ever backtrack, well, then Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina's opinion makes sense. Because even though he's dead, it doesn't matter because he couldn't have backtracked anyway. So I have every right, therefore, to put his opinion to vote and say, right, yes, that's one of the votes of innocence. But if you hold like Rav, what's the big kasha? How do you know that this person would have remained steadfast in his opinion? Maybe he would have backtracked, because after all, according to Rav, you are indeed allowed to backtrack, at least at the stage of the Gemara Din. So now that we've come to the Gemara Din, how can we just speculate? Well, he initially opined that he's innocent, so we're going to put that opinion to vote. How do you know? Says the Gemara, v'amai neima. Let us perhaps suggest that ilu hava kayom, maybe had he only survived, had he still been with us, hodarbe, maybe he would have been chayzer. So we don't know what his true opinion was. We only know what his first impression was. But if you're allowed to be chayzer and go back on your first impression, even if your first impression was innocent, but you're now allowed to say guilty, well, if that's the case, maybe indeed in the final analysis, that's what he would have said. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof against Rav. Why? Because hashta miho, at least for now, loy hodarbe. Lemaisi was not chayzer. It's true. Had he only been with us, he might have been chayzer. But as long as he was not chayzer, I have no grounds to suspect that he would have done so. So that's why Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina is telling us, if he initially said that his first impression when he's innocent, until I hear otherwise, and I can no longer hear otherwise because he's now died, as long as I don't hear otherwise, I'm now assuming that what? That that's the opinion he would have remained with. Says Rashi. Two words. Royin oisoi le'inyan haminyan. With regard to the minion, when it comes to the minion, I want to now tally up the final count. So I can't ask his opinion now on the Gemara Din because he's died. So I'm going to go with the first impression that he told us. That was the way that he saw the case. Which means, therefore, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina's statement is, in fact, compatible with Rav's rule. Yes, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina said we will consider him innocent. But it's not that he disagrees with Rav. He agrees with Rav that he could, in theory, have switched to guilty. But now he can't switch because he's dead. So as long as he didn't switch, we just go with his first impression. Says the Gemara, one second, we're not out of the woods yet. Why? V'hosholchu mitam, because a message came from over there saying, L'divrei Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Moitzei Michlal Rabbeinu. a message came that Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina disagrees with Rabbeinu, disagrees with Rav. So why are you putting the two of them together as if to say that Rabbi Yosi's opinion is compatible with Rav? We actually got a message that is Moitzi Michal Rabbeinu. He has extricated himself from Rabbeinu's position. Says the Gemara, no, you got the wrong message. Ein Moitzi Itmar. To the contrary, the message was obviously not relayed correctly. Not that he's Moitzi, that he has exited from Rav's camp. To the contrary, Ein Moitzi, he has not exited Rav's camp. To the contrary, the message coming across was that Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina is indeed not a machloikas, is not in any way to be proven against Rav. Have a look at Rashi. V'hasholchu mitom kloima. Hey, chimotzis letarutzi. How can you possibly answer l'hod Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina k'Rav? How can you possibly try and reconcile Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina and Rav, as if to say they can all be happily in the same camp? But surely, v'hosholchu mitam, surely we have a message from there saying that ledivrei Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina, according to Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina, moitzi michlal Rabbeinu. He disagrees with Rabbeinu. What does that mean? The hod Rabbi Yosi, loy, underline, loy svirale l'Rav. He does not hold of Rav that says at B'Shas Gemara Din Choyze L'Choyva that he can switch to guilty. So the message came through saying quite clearly, quite emphatically, that Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina in fact disagrees with Rav. So how can you try and reconcile them? Says Rashi, no, the message came across misconstrued. Umashani, to the contrary, Ein, underline, Moitzi Itmar. Hochi Sholchulei. This, in fact, was the accurate message that was sent. Ledivrei Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina, ein moitzin michlal divrei Rav. To the contrary, it's not at all a stira to Rav. It's not a stira to Rav in any way. That was the message. Not that the message was that it's a stira to Rav. The exact opposite. The message was that it's not a stira to Rav. Why? The Talmud Rabbi Yosi, because the reason why Rabbi Yosi says that we count his opinion is only because Mishum Dahashta Miha, because at least for now, Loi Hodar Bey. And as long as he had not retracted, so we go with his first impression. But Enochanami, Enochanami, Rabbi Yosi would certainly admit that had he been with us, it certainly would have been his prerogative to have switched. As long as he didn't, so we're going to assume that we're going to go with his first impression. So at the moment, Rabbi Yisai, where are we up to? Are we good or are we not good? We're good. Rav's opinion at the moment, even though we've tried to attack it from various directions, but we have not found any stira so far to the opinion of Rav. All the various mishnayos and memras that seem to be a stira, we've so far successfully fended them all off. And therefore, Rav's opinion remains at the moment steadfast. Says the Gemara, I've got another kasha, another attack on Rav. Zot the Heilige Gemara on the fourth line, Toshma. Shnei Seifrei Hadayonin. Two scribes of the Dayonim, Oimdim Lifnehem. They stand in front of the Dayanim. By the way, you have this until this very day. Every Bezdin has what's called the Safra Dedaina, the scribe of the court. So it used to be with parchment and a quill. They now sit there. I've been there in the Bezdin. You have people sitting there with their computer, typing away, writing every word, the minutes, as it's called, of the meeting of the Diyum. So here you have two Sofrei HaDayanim. Oyimdim Lifneir. They stand in front of the Dayanim, Echod min hayamin, ve'echod min hasmoil. One stands at the right, one stands on the left. V'kaisvin, divrei hamazakin, v'divrei hamachayvin. And they record the opinion, not just the final opinion, but the whole logic and svara behind the machayvin, behind the zakoy. Everything is recorded. as Rashi says, have a look immediately at Rashi. Divrei hamachayvin, what they have to subscribe, what they have to write down is Ploini chayev, which means Dion, so-and-so said that he's chayev, umin hatam hazeh, and it was for the following reasoning. So they not only write the opinion of the Dion, but they also write the logic behind his opinion. Then they write Ploini Ziko, and the following Dion so-and-so, he actually maintained that he's innocent. Once again, umin hatam hazeh. So everybody's opinion is recorded, written down, including the reasoning behind his opinion. Now, what would be the purpose of writing down the reasoning behind everybody's opinion? So just before we move further ahead of the Gemara, let's just remind ourselves of a very important halacha called Halonas Hadin. Halona, translated as lodging overnight, in order to convict somebody and consider him guilty and chayev misa, that's so serious that you'd always require halona sadin, which means it has to now spill over to the next day. If he's considered innocent, we're happy to close up shop now and the Bezdin come to their final conclusion. But if the final vote seems to be chayev, then what happens? We'll say, excuse me, halona sadin, I think we better sleep over this. This is so serious to put somebody to death that we better now reconsider it, at least overnight. If everybody comes back and says, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm unmoved in my position, okay, then so be it. So then indeed, the final conclusion is jolly well chayev, and there's nothing to do. So now, we've got some say who say zakai, we've got some who say chayev. Everybody's opinion is being written down. For what purpose? Says the Gemara, Beishloima divrei hamachayvin. I understand that you write down not just the opinion, but the reasoning of the machayvin. Why is it important to know his logic? Because lemachar chazutam achrina. What would be if they come back tomorrow? They initially convened on Sunday. They spilled it over, delayed a final psak until Monday. Now, what's the halacha if one of the machayvin said, listen, I'm unmoved in my opinion and I still maintain his chayev, however, for a different reason. Not for the reason that I suggested yesterday. Yesterday I suggested it was reason A, and that's why he's chayev. I still maintain that he's chayev, but actually I'm retracting reason A, but I'm not retracting my opinion because I have reason B. The halacha is, once again, you'd have to do halona sadin. Why do you have to do halona sadin? Because like we said, we always have to push off the judge to see if he's unmoved. This judge, you cannot say that he was unmoved. This Dayan did change his opinion. It happened to be that the psak didn't change, but he found a different proof, so we'd have to sleep over it again. So I understand, therefore, it's absolutely critical. You must write down the reasoning of the Dayanim. Why? Because when you come back on the second day on Monday and you ask this Dayan, okay, yesterday you said that he's guilty. Do you still maintain that? And he says, absolutely yes. One second. Let me just look at my notes. It says over here that yesterday, the reason why you maintained he's guilty is for the following reason. Do you stand by that? And he says, actually not. I've come up with a new reason. Oh, a new reason. We have to have Alon Asadim. So that's why I understand it's so critical to write down the reasoning. Says the Gemara, because lemocha chazu tama achrina. Because tomorrow he might come up with a new reason, in which case we'd have to now push off the judgment once again overnight. So I understand full well why it's so important to write down not just the opinion, but the reason behind the opinion, because I'll need to know tomorrow exactly what's happening. Hello, Divrei Hamazakin, my timer. Why do I need to write down the reasoning behind those who said he's innocent. Lav mishum, isn't it because de'i chazu tam achrina lechoiva loy mashkechin on behu question mark. Why would I need to know the reasoning behind the one who said innocent? Doesn't it suggest, because if tomorrow he comes up with a different logic, what would we say? Sorry, we're not listening to you. Once you said innocent, this was your logic. You cannot switch your opinion. And therefore, again, it's a kasha on Rav. Are Rav, after all, said that he can switch his opinion. Look at Rashi. Bishloima divrei hamachayvin. I understand that you've got to write that down on the first day. Even though you could switch, but I would need to know tomorrow. What are the reasons? Because if one of them would switch from his first reasoning, and tomorrow he would consider him, albeit guilty, but for a different reason. Is boy le meheder? He wants to switch. We boy alona sadin. Well, then you'd have to have alona sadin. But tam basra ula yachzer be'alayla. Maybe he's going to switch from it overnight, so I have to delay it. So I understand. Therefore, it would be very important to write down the reasoning. Elo divrei hamazakim. Im isa, if you really hold like Rav, the yochoy lachzer boy, that he could always switch to guilty. Why do I need to read that? So lichtoiv ployni zikar. Surely it will suffice just to write down that ployni held he's innocent. Why do I need to write down the reasoning? Ah, elolav, maybe it's because mishum di hadar bay lo yitzay sin ole. Must be because if he switches, we're not going to listen to him. By the way, do you remember we said that if it's a mistake which is so blatant that even the tzedukim would admit to, then obviously you have to backtrack. So maybe that's why we're writing the reason. We just want to double check that it's not a blatant mistake. Says Rashi, Hilkoch boy le michtev time, and therefore I just need to write down the reason. Deloy linshe le time, you shouldn't forget the reason. V'neima b'dovo shat tzedukim moedim boya yisi toya. We don't want him to say tomorrow, yeah, I switch because I realize that I made such a blatant mistake, even the tzedukim, it's a mefurash apostle. Okay, I don't want him to say that. But otherwise, he would not be able to switch. So what will be the purpose? What is the value? Why is it important to know the reasoning behind the person who said innocent? And that, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see the answer to tomorrow, all being well, Be'ezus Hashem.